I want to talk to you a bit this morning about the impact that some of this is having on me and some of what I believe I'm seeing, not exactly firstly for myself, but I'm not saying I've never seen it before, but there's an impact upon me that I believe is relevant to us for this coming year. I found myself just in the same way as Her Majesty the Queen was talking about reflecting on the year. I found myself reflecting on the year. The word reflection, particularly that first weekend when I was in City Hospital, and here everything was happening. So we had the Christmas festival out in the town, which officially I was responsible for. I was in hospital bed. And people were sending me occasional reports, you know, when it had happened and all the excitement had died down. I was told about how it had gone. And then I heard what you were doing in here on the Sunday, the singing out at Morrison's, the storehouse stories, the group of folk who went out on detached youth work up into Coxmoor. I've probably missed the odd story. But as I reflected on all of these things, it was almost like God was saying to me, see what we can do? And I say that carefully, see what we can do. Because I didn't have a sense God was saying, if you get out of the way, I'll do it all. Because I don't think God does that. We wish he would sometimes, and it would make our lives easier, and we sort of imagine the job might be better done. But actually, God doesn't seem to do that way. It seems to have put restrictions upon himself. It's like God tends not to act until somebody's asked him to. But of course, if you're listening carefully, he's always nudging us what to ask him. So if you get tuned in well, you discover what God wants you to ask him to do, and then he does it. And it's a strange way, but that's how God seems to have chosen to do it. And he seems to be including us in a remarkable way. So I was sitting there that evening, just reflecting on all of these things. I even was getting messages from our friend Carol. We call her Christmas Carol. She's the Ashford District Council person who supports the Christmas festival so ably. And at one point, her phone was on, and she was sending me the sound of one of the choirs singing from the stage on the Friday night. And then, of course, you all sang to me on the Sunday morning, which I have to say was excellent, obviously. I mean, it was mainly the kids, I'll give and do, but you did well. You did well. But these things just got better and better. And then, you know, I've not got it all. The following week, we've got Gazoo, another Sunday morning welcoming visitors, Carol's Fun Outside. And that Sunday morning, I was around and just sat there all morning. Well, I mean, you know, with a turkey back like that, what more can you ask? And I've just been so enthusiastic to see what God is doing with us, because it's giving me a glimpse of where I think he wants us to go. And if you're visiting this morning, and I know over these last few weeks, a lot of people have visited us. And I want to say to visitors, you're always very, very welcome. But I'm not sure, well, in fact, I am sure, we don't always explain why we are so pleased to have people with us. And the truth is, it's this. It is because we count ourselves so privileged to be so close to the God of all the earth, the God who created all things, the God who's still watching over his world, the God who loves you and me so much that he's gone out of his way to demonstrate his amazing love for us. We believe that is so significant that we want others to know how good it is to know that wonderful good news. That's why we love to have visitors coming in, asking us questions. And there is something that God seems to have been doing over these last few weeks. We just have to keep praying that it goes on and play our part. I mean, the truth is, the Christmas story is rooted in that truth, isn't it? Because it tells us how God allowed his one and only Son to come into our world as a vulnerable child to demonstrate what God's like, and ultimately to provide a way for you and me to be back in close connection, in close relationship to God, which is what he wants for us. The things that I found I discovered for myself, firstly, I found God was doing something to me or with me in the sense of his relationship with me as my father. over more than 3 years now, I've heard one or two people speak about, you know, reminding us how Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. In fact, he said, I can do nothing except. Now, that's a big, bold statement that we tend to lose sight of, if you think about it. We are so convinced of Jesus, the Son of God, who worked miracles, that actually that particular phrase somehow finds itself on the back burner because we can't quite work out what it means that Jesus should say, I can do nothing except what I see my Father doing. But that's a huge, big, bold statement which is there to encourage you and me. Because if Jesus said that when he was on the earth, and then Jesus went on to say to you and me, we'll do greater things than he did, the context is the same one. Because you and I do not have the power of God to perform miracles, but actually you and I, in the same way as Jesus, can hear what God the Father says to us and can be empowered by the Holy Spirit to see things happen. Now, this relationship with my Father was really quite fascinating as I watched it happen. Because I hadn't managed to break through into it somehow. It was something I felt I wanted to be there, but it was like, you can't obey the rules, you can't reset the schedule, you can't do the timetable and make some of these things happen. And then suddenly in this period of reflection, when I can't do anything other than watch what God's doing, and it, literally, I have to say, it was for me watching what God was doing, despite the fact that I heard stories of so many people being involved in it, and the list would be longer than you would imagine, because different people have added folk to that list, and I suddenly hear about, well, so-and-so was doing such-and-such, and so-and-so was there, and this, that, and the other. And you've got this massive list of people who are just playing their part in order that the name of Jesus may be more famous. And I watched all this happening, and I did what probably most of us do. You know, you start to pray, and you start, in my thinking, Jesus said, you know, when he taught his disciples to pray our Father who art in heaven. So I generally do start praying to my Father. But if before I've started, I've got my list out. Are you like that? You know, have you got your list out? You know, as soon as you start to pray, you get your list out of things you want to ask God to do. And, you know, if you're sitting in hospital, you know who's on the top of the list. But I realized every time I did it, it was like, it wasn't God said don't do it. It was just, I knew I wasn't supposed to do it. And do you know what happened to me? You may not see it because I don't display smiles as well as some do. So my wife tells me. It's partly the way my jaws are shaped. That even... Give me a break, come on. That even though I am trying to smile, somehow it still goes that way a bit. You know, I really have to pull a grin and then I get in trouble for that. But do you know what I found happening? I would start to pray and then I would feel, no, I've just got to listen to what God my Father's saying. And, you know, I could feel a grin go across my face. I didn't bother to look in a mirror because I thought I might be disappointed. But I definitely felt time and time again, I'm still doing it. When I begin to pray and I begin to focus my attention on my Father, there's a smile comes on my face. Yeah. And I then just stop. And I don't get worked up about what I need. I don't get worked up about the daily needs or the fact that I'm preaching or whatever. I've just got that sense, hey, God, the creator of the universe, not only does he love me, which is good news for a start, but actually, he is my Father. And then we start to, well, I do anyway, I start then to think Father. So I start to think fathers I know. I start with my own dad, I start with me, I watch my lads, and they're quite amazingly fathers too. And then so many people who have, in different ways, I watch them being either natural fathers or spiritual fathers to other people. And It don't come in the same league as God, my Father, but actually it paints a more ordinary picture of God the Father who loves me. And that is so incredible. and such a wonderful starting point in my prayers. And sometimes I just begin to sing. Sometimes quietly, unheard. But several prophets, just prophetic words that I've had, have encouraged me to be singing. And how do you express? How do you express? You see, the word intimacy with Father God, it don't fit with my thinking very well. Those words are a bit. I have to twist them a bit to make them mean what people mean. But for me, I want to be in that place where there's a closeness to my Father that I can feel as well as know. And so I sort of need some words to help me do it. And I often sing, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. And the thing about it is that they're just such simple words that I managed to remember with longer term memory, because my shorter term memory doesn't work so well for singing songs like that. But there's just an expression there that works for me, that I'm just, and I can say something in that manner that we can join in with, and we're all of us saying, I love you, Lord. And somehow you get to a place where you begin to discover, yeah, I love God. And then there's the God loves me. And then there's the I love God. And I pause there for quite a while sometimes. And I'm finding that even, and to be honest with you, I'm not suffering from much pain at all. But every so often I get a nasty in the middle of my back. But I'm finding, if I just pause for a few minutes in the presence of God, my Father, he almost always deals with it straight away. And there's something significant happens. And that's why I declare those two words this morning, because I just feel that that's what God is doing right now. And let's not get into any kind of, this is God's new rules for 2014. This is God's latest, you know, this is somebody's latest idea. This is the latest book. It's not. It's what God does. He's been doing it all the time. It's just that sometimes people like me are a bit slow at spotting it. But sometimes you get such a reality of God loving you that it's amazing. And I believe that it's so vital to us all. You don't have to go in hospital to experience it, by the way. In fact, I'd not recommend that. But you just try it. You just sit in your chair and just stop yourself from, you know, asking about next Christmas, and just pause and just see what God's got to say to you. Because I'm finding it's really interesting to discover what God's saying. And then, you see, I find myself contemplating my relationship with Jesus. See, I found it really helpful to remind myself that the Bible describes God in this Trinitarian manner. He describes God as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And there's a mystery, yet another one of these things we don't understand. But actually what we've got there is something that enables us to discover more about the enormous nature of God and how the different ways he expresses himself to you and me can be responded to in different ways that enable us to discover more and more about not just who he is, not just about what he does, but actually the whole nature of what he's about, where he wants to go, where he's taking us. And so, relationship with Jesus, when I've spent a bit of time on that relationship with God, and I have, with Father, I have to say that's where I have to start, because If Jesus said, I could do nothing except what my Father tells me, then there's no point in me rushing on from what God the Father is saying to me if that was the way it affected Jesus. So I need to be there for a while and listen to what he's saying. But then I remind myself that Jesus, in his conversations with his Father, the consequence of those conversations were some of the most amazing things imaginable. Not just miracles, there were plenty of those. Not just remarkable teaching, there was plenty of that. But actually, a sacrifice on a cross, a resurrection, an ascension, and a future where Jesus then resumes his seat in glory and is there interceding for you and me. Whatever that means, it's just got to be good news. If in this process, when Father has showed me something I could just possibly do, and Jesus is praying that I will, I'm on to a good thing. And so, and you see, I haven't got time to underline every scripture. You just got to take my word for it that I haven't invented it all. But in John 5, Jesus said this, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." That's what the Bible says. I am utterly convinced of the truth of that. And I need to understand it. Because actually, do you know, it really helps me understand what I'm capable of doing and what you're capable of doing. Because that's what it was about. Jesus demonstrated that by listening to his Father and doing what Father said, amazing things could happen. And he said we could do it. And it's not new. I haven't suddenly discovered something that I found in a corner of my Bible. I've said it many times. But it's just like God's just watering the flowers a bit for me. John 14 says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they'll do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father." Well, I believe that. And I, to be honest, don't want to be a part of a church that has to apologize for the fact that we know that's true, but we can't do it. Easy to say, not easy to do, but I'm convinced that's where God wants us to be. I think we've got, we mustn't be in that apologetics. The church is amazing. It is God's invention. It is God's creation. It is God's identity himself. Jesus is the head of the church. You and I are the body. It is incredible. It's not just a gathering of a few folks singing a few songs. If it was, we've missed it. But it isn't. It's this whole sense of God the Father speaking things. Jesus Christ has followed everything that his Father said. And the consequence is a church universal, but a local church as well. It's all part of the same thing. And I just find myself praying, I want to be closer and closer to hearing what my Heavenly Father says. Do you know what is the key to that? Stop talking. It is. It's stop talking. Because, you know, you get into your prayer time and you think, well, I should be praying. Whoops, off we go. But actually, God knows everything I'm thinking. He knows everything I want to see happen. He doesn't need reminding. Morning. He's there all the time. So I don't need to spell it out, and yet he wants me to. Don't you think that's incredible? And then, finally, I don't know why it's such a short paragraph in my notes. I think I must have been getting a bit weary last night. But I'm also reminded that Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to his followers. Do you remember what he said? Not only did he say, I can do nothing except, he also said, actually, I need to go away so that you can. Do you remember that? You see, if you think about it, when Jesus in the particular place he was, he could only be in one place at once when he was a man on earth. But now, the Holy Spirit is wherever he needs to be. And that is because Jesus went to heaven. The Holy Spirit was sent. And the Holy Spirit, it's absolutely vital that, again, we keep our relationship with the Holy Spirit as it's supposed to be. I'm gone into all the details, but if you search your Bible, you will discover it is possible to grieve the Holy Spirit. It's possible to offend the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit is sufficiently sensitive that at times he isn't just going to hang around and wait. He will withdraw a little until you begin to realize, actually, I need the Spirit of God. And that needs to be recognized, because sometimes we need to be in that place saying, oh, I need the Spirit of God. And I'm coming to the conclusion, I prayed it a few minutes ago, I believe this is right. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, which I personally believe is the right of every Christian, every person who turns to the Lord Jesus and who asks him to take control of their life, I personally believe, well, the Bible's quite clear. First of all, the Holy Spirit is actually given to every such person. The Holy Spirit inhabits that person. But actually, I believe what God is wanting is far bigger than that. He wants us, first of all, to be full of the Holy Spirit on an ongoing basis, filled to overflowing, and it's the overflow that benefits other people. And it is that sense of being full of the Holy Spirit that marks you and me out as different people, because there is the stamp of authenticity. It's called the guarantee. It's called that mark of the fact that we have been changed. It's upon us, and actually it can be seen. I was reading during the week, one of the words that's around for anointing is like the word smear. Because if you remember, anointing oil isn't just fluidy stuff. It's thick. I was going to say treacle-like. That's not a particularly good description. But it's like that. And so when anointing, in different ways, sometimes the word that describes how we're affected by it is like smear. And the image I was reading, it's like when you rub shoulders with somebody and you've got the anointing of God upon you, they're going to get some. And I don't understand all that, but I'm convinced it's true, because I'll bet you if you start telling some of your stories, you'll be able to tell us some stories of you having rubbed shoulders with somebody and you saw them change. It might take years, it might take minutes, but it happens. And I believe that it's when I'm exploring my relationship with the Holy Spirit, I'm looking for two things. I'm looking to make sure that I am full of the Holy Spirit, because God says that's for my benefit. God encourages me to speak in tongues for my benefit. He says it'll build me up, it'll do me good. Well, if it'll do me good, I'd better do it. But he also says there's a whole host of other gifts that are available. Sometimes those gifts are available for a particular occasion. So I believe I've declared a gift about somebody's back and about somebody's heart. I was talking about the shoulder blade there, but the heart thing is probably more important. But they're gifts from God for us to benefit from. But then I also believe, when I look at the Old Testament in conjunction with the New Testament, that there was times in the Old Testament when it says the Spirit of the Lord came upon so-and-so for a particular purpose. And when those purposes were declared, it might be a prophet talking about a nation. I've been reading Jeremiah over the last few weeks. It takes a long time to read Jeremiah. But Jeremiah, poor guy, is constantly declaring things about all the nations around him. But God told him at the beginning nobody would ever believe him, which is a bit of a tough call, isn't it? But there it is. And I believe it still happens, you see. So I believe there are times when the Spirit of God will come upon you or me. And it's like God's declared something, God the Father's declared something. Jesus, his authority, is receiving that in a sense, and the power of the Spirit of God enables me to do something or you to do something. Now, that's a bit complicated. I shall have to unwrap that on another occasion. Matt's looking a bit sort of Google. Oh, he's with me. He's all right. He's all right. Jolly good. But are you with me? Are you sort of more or less with me? You can see where we're going. I think it's there for the asking. And to be honest, if we don't do it, well, we're not responding properly to the God that we serve. We're not making him known as we should. Jesus is supposed to be more famous round here than he is. And then just one final word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, we are described as co-workers with God. And I believe that is really important for us to get a hold of. So right back at the beginning of December, as I seemed to be hearing God saying, look what we can do, what was I seeing? Well, I saw a raft of things happening in and around us in our communities that clearly had the mark of God about them. But God wasn't saying, see what I can do. God was saying to me, see what we can do. And I'm utterly convinced that God has imposed, it's a self-imposed restriction, I read one writer say, that God has determined he has to receive a prayer before he acts. Now, I'm not sure that I would say that's 110% solid. I can't prove that. I'm sure God, because God's reactions to people is usually out of his compassion for them. And I'm not saying that God never acts without a prayer. It's just possible he does, because he's like that. And I wouldn't presume to set up rules for my God. But what I do see is that most of the time God's saying, well, you ask me, I'll do it. And I just watched all those things. I listened to some stories. I listened to some stories how people were reacting because we've started Storehouse in town. And it was just stories about people got moved. Even listening to what Elaine's saying about the hospital. And you find people are impacted because they've just heard some of the amazing truth about the gospel. And I just want to be a part of it. I don't want to see anything slip by me. It's dangerous stuff to say this, because you go out on a limb and then you're perfectly entitled to ask me in a month's time, okay, Graham, how's it going? Once you've made a statement, we've got to be going somewhere with it. But I'm just interested to see what God can do and will do with us. And so I wasn't just watching what God had decided to do and we were bystanders. We were genuinely his co-workers, increasingly equipped to do what needed to be done, which in my case was very little. I mean, to be honest, I sat and watched. I didn't have to do anything. And, you know, I didn't feel left out. I didn't want to grab any glory, because I wasn't entitled to any. I was just delighted to see God doing what he was doing and using my friends who want to be a part of it. So God's decided to do it that way, and there will always be things for us to do. But I sense God wasn't saying to me, so these are the things you now need to learn so that you can do a better co-worker job. Even though I've no doubt there are such things. Because that tends to be our first response. Let's have a bit of teaching. Let's see what the Bible's got to say. Bible is totally relevant, of course it is. But unless it becomes something that we act upon and becomes written into us, it's a book. In fact, I read again during the week, one writer had said that book is a closed book unless when you're reading it, you are reading it with the Holy Spirit at your elbow. It's not necessarily better than any other book. That's arguable, but if you haven't got the Holy Spirit at your elbow as you read it, helping you to see what God's saying to you, you're going to miss a huge amount. And I just think this co-worker idea, it's basically just doing what we do, but with an eye to doing what God wants us to do. So, you see, I was sensing great encouragement from God to look and see what we're already doing, and with tiny adjustments we could do more of. I didn't feel God got this long list of, now you ought to start trying this, 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 and this. Genuinely, God just kept showing me things that had happened. Somebody had said such and such. Somebody had come back grateful. Somebody had been tears for this. Somebody had decided to volunteer for that. And these were all ordinary things, but they were making a difference. And, another quick ordinary example. In the Message version of John's Gospel, it describes the coming of Jesus as the Word of God moving into the neighborhood. It's a great phrase. Moved into the neighborhood. But one of the important co-worker jobs available to us is to rub shoulders with people who are in the neighborhood, who need to find Jesus but haven't been introduced. And if I'm so impacted by God's love for me, then surely it's not too much to ask for people to then find in me someone they're comfortable to be with. You see, I was looking around that Sunday morning when I was here and just watching people. Do you know, people in general like being with you. Do you know that? I just watch people enjoying and feeling comfortable with you people. Whether you're serving them a turkey bap or a cup of coffee or a mince pie or what it is, or you're welcoming them at the door, or you've remembered who they are and you've bumped into them in the street and you've just acknowledged them and said who they are. And I think we can do it. I mean, to be honest, you know, if I become some kind of grumpy co-worker so that people, you know, find that they don't actually want to talk to me, they'd rather go and talk to somebody else, then you have my permission to tell me. Because I don't want to be guilty of that, and I'd like to think I never was. But I have a sneaking suspicion I sometimes am. Matt and I were talking about our reactions to people. Are we allowed to say it was in Asda? I'm not going to repeat it. But we were actually acknowledging that there are certain places where we go, and we have to consciously decide that God loves these people, so I'd better go and do it, because it isn't automatically natural. And so, you know, if we start thinking we're doing great, what's the Bible say? Be careful you don't fall. But on the other hand, don't wipe yourself out and think, oh, I can't do these things. I never get it right. Because actually, being kind to people and welcoming isn't that big, really, is it? And it's amazing what a difference it makes. Oh, I also would like to mention that contributing in praying is still more important than we realize. I'm not suggesting that we can tap out of everything else and we can just say, well, I'll ask God to do it and it'll be fine. Because I don't think it works that way either. But it is vital that we tune into what God wants us to pray and pray it. And then remember to thank him for answering it. Because he's answering prayers. Well, he's certainly answering mine. So, as I look forward to 2014, what am I expecting? Well, I'm expecting more revelation. But I don't mean that big glory stuff. What I actually mean is being in the position where I hear God my Father better saying, Graham, that's what I want you to do. That's revelation. Revelation isn't big and grand all of the time. Sometimes it's just God says something. I want more understanding as to how our relationship with God the Father, with Jesus, our Saviour, and with the Holy Spirit, our guide and comforter, and particularly how that works out in our praying and in our seeing God do amazing things amongst us. I want to see it happen. I'm not talking about a breed of super prayers. No breed of super prayers, please. I'm talking about ordinary followers of Jesus engaging in what he has in store for them. But actually, there's nobody in this room needs to count themselves out. Quite the opposite. We should be counting ourselves in. Because, you know, if you find yourself missing the point somewhere, well, just jog yourself again. Because I'm saying this is true for all of us. I'm also talking about discovering within the ordinary things we do where there are ways of growing as co-workers with Jesus. Some of the stuff we've done this last year is just the beginning. This last month, I mean, it's just the beginning. Other things will happen. God was kind enough to give me, I believe, a fresh glimpse of what he has in mind to do in our locality along with our help. And actually, in one sense, this is massive revelation. And it is not beyond any of us. I would want to say, I can't actually spot anybody this morning, but if there's anybody who's visiting that I don't know and you have not yet really discovered how much God loves you, I want to tell you he does. I want to tell you he does. I want to tell you you're not here by accident. And this morning, if you could take a step further, you could discover more. And by the way, there's no closing date on the invitation. Truth is, God is good all the time. You matter to him. I matter to him. He loves you and me more than we can imagine. And he has plans and purposes for our lives. What a great God. What a great God.